Good morning. Our first passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 28. And it says, "This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah." And then it talks a little bit about her family. In verse 21, it says, "Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, 'Why is this happening to me?' And so she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.' When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red. His whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping on Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man to the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob." And now we skip down to chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. And this is at the end of Isaac's life. "When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, the older son, and said to him, 'My son.' 'Here I am,' Esau answered. Isaac said, 'I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, "Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father so that he may give you the blessing before he dies." So some have made the observation that Isaac and Rebekah, the mother and the father in this story, they're the mother and the father of Esau and Jacob, but some have suggested that they might not have communicated very well. Communication wasn't necessarily a strong point in their relationship. Their ability to communicate with one another was a problem, and some people would say a great opportunity. One commentator suggests that there are other married couples in the book of Genesis that seem to communicate really well. For example, Isaac's parents, Abraham and Sarah, they seem to communicate well. But not so much with Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah, they never, not even from the very beginning, they never seem to have a close, casual relationship. And because of that, they don't talk. They don't talk much at all. They don't even talk about the things that most of us would agree are really, really important things. Things that you should definitely tell your spouse. For example, now this is obviously a very extreme example, but it's an example. In our passage that we just read, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them, talks to Rachel. And God says, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the younger will the older will serve the younger." That is what God told Rebekah. And I wonder if you would just simply agree that that's something that you should probably share with your spouse. That's consequential information, right? God talks to Rachel about her kids, but remember, these are Isaac's kids as well. He's the dad. God talks about them birthing nations and being in conflict with one another, and that the younger should actually be the one who serves the older, which is not how things typically go in those days. Isaac might want to know about this. This is something that I think we'd all agree that Rebecca should have told Isaac, but she doesn't. Think about this. Here we are, thousands of miles and thousands of years removed from this situation of what God telling really important things about their kids to Rebecca. And we know the details of what God revealed to Rebecca. But her own husband, the dad of the twins, who lived in the same house, he had no idea. He had no clue. We're able to see the gravity. We're able to see the historical impact. We're able to see the weight of what God says to Rebecca. But for some reason, Isaac, he was completely left in the dark. And I wonder if the information that God shared with Rebecca that day about Esau, the older son, serving Jacob, the younger son, I wonder if that might have at least been a small factor, a small reason of why Rebecca, as it says in Scripture, favored Jacob, favored the younger son, and didn't favor Esau, the older son. In fact, it would be really hard to convince me otherwise. She knew from day one, because God told her that the younger was going to be favored above the older. The younger was the chosen one of God. It's hard for me to imagine that that didn't at least have some bit of influence on who she favored. And here's the thing. If Rebecca had communicated with Isaac, and Isaac knew what God told Rebecca about their kids, important things like they're going to be the fathers of nations and they're going to be at war with one another and things like that. If Isaac knew what his wife knew, if Isaac knew that God was going to bless the younger son and not the older son, do you think that Isaac still would have favored Esau so much? Do you think that Isaac's favoritism for the older brother Esau, which by the way was standard for the day, that was par for the course, that's the way it always was, the eldest was always favored, but do you think that if Rebecca communicated with Isaac about the younger serving the older, do you think that Isaac would have still favored Esau as much as he did? Knowing that in the end, God told your wife that it was actually going to be the other way around. Trying to put myself in Isaac's shoes. Given that it was a time where it was normal for parents to give a blessing to the eldest son, and thank the Lord that isn't the case how it is now, I would imagine that God's words to Rachel would have definitely caused me to reconsider the way that everyone was doing things around me. Maybe I should reconsider who I favor. It seems obvious that for whatever reason, Rebecca and Isaac, they did not communicate. They didn't know. And because of their serious lack of communication, many years later, Rebecca is overhearing this conversation as Isaac is on his deathbed. And when he's on his deathbed, he calls Esau, again the older, the one that he favors. And he says, hey, listen, I need you to go out and get a meal. And because of that meal, I'm going to give you the blessing. And because of their lack of communication, because Rebecca never shared what God shared with her decades before, Rebecca hears this and she has to go into full-on deception mode. She told Jacob, the younger brother, to pretend he was Esau, the older brother, and go and steal from your father Esau's blessing. Now, a good question is, after hearing what Isaac was going to do and blessed Esau, why didn't Rebecca simply go to Isaac and say, hey, Isaac, I overheard your conversation with Esau. And you should know that we're actually supposed to bless Jacob, the younger, and not Esau, our older one. Yeah, God told me this decades ago. I withheld it from you, but can you just bless Jacob instead of Esau? Of course, Rebecca wasn't going to say that. She wasn't going to say that because if she did, she'd be admitting to the fact that she kept her husband in the dark on really, really important information for not years, but decades. That wasn't going to happen. But imagine if it had. Imagine if Rebecca did go to Isaac. And imagine if Rebecca had spoken to Isaac on the day that Esau told, Isaac told Esau he was going to bless him. Who knows what could have happened? We don't know what would have happened. Isaac could have replied, you know what, Rebecca? That's a really good point. We know our boys. And I don't think Esau is the right one to continue the covenant either. He's got his strengths, but he's a little wild. I agree, Jacob is the right one. We should bless him to continue the covenant. Who knows? That could have happened. Isaac could have said, I'm a fan of both of our boys. They both have strengths. They both have weaknesses. They're very, very different. I've got two different blessings for our boys. One for each of our sons. One that's appropriate for each of them. Esau, he's a wild man. I'm going to give him the appropriate blessing for Esau. And that's the blessing that you can read in Genesis chapter 27. And here's the thing. Even with all this deceit, even with all of this drama and everything else, the appropriate blessing for Esau is a blessing that he actually got. In the same way, Isaac might have said, hey, Jacob, he's a little bit more dependable. He's the one that we should bless with the blessing or give the blessing, the one to continue the covenant. And here's the thing. And that covenant's found in, and that blessing's found in Genesis chapter 28. And here's the thing. Even with all the deceit, even with all the drama, that blessing that's appropriate for Jacob, that's the blessing that he gives him anyways. It's entirely possible that Isaac never intended to give the blessing of the covenant to Esau, the older, wilder one, anyways. Esau, the older, wilder brother, he didn't have the temperament for it. He wasn't the right one. It could be very possible that Isaac had the intention to give each of his boys the blessing that was appropriate for each of them. Which means that all the deceit, all the lying, all the drama, all the deceit that was meticulously planned out, Rebecca, and carried out by Joseph, none of that was even necessary in the first place. It was all a waste. And so we have to ask, why all the drama? Well, it's simply because Isaac and Rebecca, they didn't communicate. They didn't talk. And think of the consequences because they didn't talk and they didn't communicate. For Isaac, he was old. He was blind. He was on his deathbed, and he felt so betrayed by Jacob and by Rebecca, it says that he was trembling violently. That's not what you want to see from someone on their deathbed. For Esau, he felt so betrayed. He felt so much violent hatred towards his brother that he vowed to kill his brother. For Rebecca, she was forced to send one of her children, one of her sons away, not for years, for decades. For decades, she was without the presence and the communication and the love of her son. Simply for his own protection, she had to do that. And for Jacob, the consequences of the deceit lasted for him a lifetime. He ended up having his own marital issues. He ended up having his own issues with his kids. And later in life, this is what Jacob said. Jacob said, "Few and evil have been the days of my life. Four lives and generations following them, scarred deeply because of lack of communication." Communication matters. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth with words. God created, he communicated in order to create. We create with our words as well. That is why every one of us, whether you have the influence of a CEO or you are a parent or you have influence in some other way, we have to live with the goal of good, strong, honest, encouraging, open communication. Because the consequences are too high. And so the question is, what are we creating with our words? How are we using our words to contribute to the common good? Are we using our words to advance, as Philippians 4 says? Are we using our words to advance whatever is true and noble, right and pure and lovely and admirable? Are we using our words to advance what's excellent and praiseworthy? Because those are the things we're supposed to be about. Those are the things that we should be using our words to advance. Are we using our words to encourage one another, to build one another up, to bring things together, and to build trust with one another? Or are we withholding information from one another? Can't do that. Consequences are too high. Just ask Isaac and Rebecca and Esau and Jacob. Are we using our words to divide, to tear one another down, and to discourage? Communication is important. We see this all throughout Genesis. And so may we understand, and may we pray that the words of our mouth, and not just the words of our mouth, but the meditation of our heart, may the words of our mouth be pleasing to God. As the psalmist says, may the words of our mouth be pleasing to God, our rock and our redeemer. May it be so.